You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Today we're starting a new series called Unstoppable Force. Come on, what's your favorite pose? Unstoppable Force. Like a superhero right here. The next couple of weeks we're going to be talking about this and what this is all about, why this is important. Last Sunday we celebrated the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, which really is the reason why we are here today. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, our Christianity and our faith will only be nice, pithy statements, good ideas, and good principles. But aside from that, there really is no power. But because Jesus rose from the dead, today we know that we are overcomers, we are triumphant in Jesus Christ. How many of you guys have ever won anything? Right? You've ever won anything? I remember a few years ago, my wife and I were at the mall, and in this mall they had a furniture store. And at the furniture store, I can probably say what it is, right? IKEA store. So we've got one that's opening in Metro Manila soon, hopefully this year. And so when we were walking by the store, it was Valentine's Day. And the salespeople, I guess they didn't have a lot of people coming to their booth, invited us, they encouraged us. They literally almost physically pushed us to go there and sign up for a raffle. And so my wife dutifully signed that raffle and gave it to them. And you could draw from the box a prize that you could possibly win. So she, when she pulled the raffle out, the ticket out, gave it to them, we didn't think twice. We weren't that confident that we were going to get anything, and so we started walking away. As we were walking away, we heard shouts of joy and screams of joy. And we thought, what's happening? You know, is there an emergency? And they were pointing at us, and they said, you just won. What did we win? We won a nice IKEA love seat that was on display right there. It was covered in red. We've never owned a red furniture, but we won that love seat. And so it was, to our surprise, it was like, oh wow, is this for real? And pretty much they said, yes, you know, you won. I mean, that was the main prize that they were giving away that day. But how many of us ever won something from a raffle, and even before you got your presents, you already started celebrating? Come on, anybody like that, right? Your name is called, and you don't even know if you won anything. Your name was just called. And for some people, the moment they hear their names, right, they just start shouting, woo! And some people are like that, you know, your name is called, a raffle is being done, you're called. The price hasn't even been said, but you're already up to your feet, jumping for joy, because you've won. You've won. And that's what it's like when Jesus rose from the dead. For all of humanity and every person that would put their faith in Jesus, that is our situation. We have won. We're winners. We're champions. All things are now possible because Jesus rose from the dead. But why is it some people still live their life like Jesus is crucified on the cross? Like he is still dead. If that's you, I want to encourage you today, it's time to stop living like Jesus is still on the cross and start living the resurrected life that Jesus bought for you and for me, because that is why he came. We are more than conquerors, we are victors in Jesus Christ, because Jesus said what he said he was going to do. Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'm going to raise it up, and he did it. And because of that, all things are now possible. It's just sad that sometimes people still choose not to believe that. And so because of this, they are robbed of the full and abundant life that Jesus came to give them. Some of them are even Christians. Come on. Come on, you know who you are. There are some Christians today who believe, but don't live as if that's the reality of their life. And so we want to look at a passage today that will somehow enable us, I hope, will remind us of the importance of the resurrection of Christ and what that should mean, what in fact it actually means for every believer, for every single person that follows Jesus Christ. Here's the big idea for today. The resurrected life in Jesus reveals the kingdom of God through the preaching of the gospel and the demonstration of God's power. Now, the first part we're probably in agreement with, okay, resurrected Jesus. We talked about it last week. The preaching of the gospel, yep, Pastor Chad, that's what you're doing right now. The demonstration of God's power, I don't know. Some of you are probably thinking, I haven't experienced that personally in my life, so I don't know. But that's actually part of the promise of Jesus Christ. We're going to go to the book of Mark today, the Gospel of Mark. Mark was an associate of Paul, and he ended up writing one of the Gospels that we find in the New Testament part of the Bible. And here in the very last chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 9. It's interesting because in many Bibles, I don't know if all Bibles have it, but in many Bibles, it has this little disclaimer at the start of this passage, just above verse 9. It has there in open and closed parentheses, the earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have verses 9 to 20. Now the question is, will you believe what is stated in verses 9 to 20? Because that will make a whole lot of difference in the way that we live our lives today. So let's go straight into that. In verse 9, it says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. So again, track back, last Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, first day of the week, according to the Jewish calendar, is Sunday. So Jesus is up and about, and the first person he meets is Mary Magdalene. Very clearly, Mark says, hey, she just happened to have seven demons that, you know, Jesus cast out of her. And so, of course, Mary Magdalene knows Jesus well. She's familiar with him just simply because of the supernatural experience that she experienced, that she had with him. And so she went and told those who had been with him, with Jesus, and who were mourning and weeping. This is the other disciples. They were still mourning. They were still weeping. Jesus died. And that's pretty much the last memory that they have of Jesus. Mary tells them, Jesus is alive. When they heard that Jesus was alive from Mary and that she had seen him, they what? Did not believe it. Come on. Well, you would expect like disciples who were with Jesus for so long at this point would actually be the first ones to believe, but no. I don't believe you, Mary. What? Are you crazy? Okay, I know that seven demons were cast out of you, but maybe there's still one demon left in you, and you're trying to trick us with this message. This is what the disciples thought. They did not believe her. They did not believe a single word that she said. Verse 12, afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them, two other disciples, while they were walking in the country. These two returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Didn't believe Mary. They didn't believe the other two. It's like, what's going on here? Why are these guys telling us that Jesus is alive? Later, Jesus appeared to the 11. These are the guys that were receiving the reports and that were not believing as they were eating. Here's what Jesus does. He rebuked them for their lack of faith. He rebuked them for the lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Again, that word belief is stated there. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes, come on, say that with me in your room, believes, type it in the comment section, believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. Check. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of life that I want to experience. Can I tell you right now? That kind of life is possible today. Thousands, if not millions of Christians throughout millennia have experienced this reality in their life. This is not just a story that we read that happened once upon a time. This happens still today. And you can experience it in your own life. The question is, do you believe? Do you believe? See, these disciples who were with Jesus for several years saw signs, wonders, and miracles being performed out of his life. And yet, when other disciples came up to them and told them, the one that we follow, our master, is back from the dead and is alive, they didn't believe right away. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe even though they do not see." I haven't seen Jesus physically. I wasn't there when he rose from the dead. But you know, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that he did experience that. Why? Because of eyewitness accounts and because of what continues to happen in the world today as evidence in the life of those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. It is possible to continue to experience what Jesus said would happen. Why? Because this is what he expects and what he came to live out. When Jesus came to the earth, what did he say? "I've come to reveal the Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I have come to reveal the kingdom of God." And when the kingdom of God was revealed in the life of Jesus Christ, what did we see? We saw signs, wonders, and miracles. We saw people healed. He says the kingdom of God is love, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost. And we saw that power manifest in the life of Jesus. Whenever these signs and wonders appeared, Jesus would often declare, "The kingdom of God is here." That's what Jesus came to do. He came to reveal the love of the Father to each one of us. And he came to reveal to us that the love of the Father is not hindered by the results of sin in this world. In fact, even before Jesus died, that was being manifested in his life. Fully dependent, fully relying on the Holy Spirit, while withholding his God ability, he manifested through his life kingdom power on earth. God's love manifesting through signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Because that is what God wanted us to know from the very beginning. Before Jesus ever died and resurrected, that is what God the Father has been wanting for all of humanity to know, that he loves us so much that no sin, no sickness, and yes, not even death could separate us from the love of God. So Jesus went all the way to the cross to prove to us and to reveal to us this is how much God loves us. He didn't just come to break the curse of sin and death, but he wanted us to experience that in life that we have right now. And so when Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the dead, he said, "Now it's available and it's accessible for everyone who believes." Everyone who believes. Today, we can experience that full life in Jesus Christ. As we put our trust in him, that he truly is the Son of God, that he did what he said he was going to do, that he came back from the dead, and because of him, our sins can be washed away, and we can experience kingdom life, abundant life, through Jesus Christ, right now, right here, where we are. And you say, "Pastor Chad, how is that even possible? Right now, you know, can't you tell? This pandemic, this virus, is causing many of us to be restricted. That's the reason why we can't even gather right now as a body of Christ. Yes, but regardless of all these things happening around us as the evidence and as a result of sin, Jesus remains victorious and enthroned, and he is never going to be defeated. Come on. He remains enthroned. He remains triumphant. Regardless of the situation, whether there's a pandemic or not. In fact, when Jesus rolled the stone away, he proved that no pandemic, no quarantine could hold him back. Come on now. He is God. He is God. So how do we do this? Even though I know that this happened with Jesus, I know that he's an amazing teacher, somehow, for some of us, we are still being prevented from living that life of faith. And the difference is belief. Belief. What did Jesus do? He rebuked them. There were some who already testified of his resurrection, yet they did not believe. It was only when he physically manifested and appeared before them that they believed. And when they did that, he rebuked them. He said, "Why do you not have any faith? Why don't you have any faith?" And for many of us, it seems that is what is preventing us from experiencing that full life in Jesus. From the miracles that God is wanting to perform in our life, is we're just one belief away from experiencing those miracles. And what is causing unbelief? One possibility is the circumstances that we see around us. Just like these 11 disciples, because they had not physically seen Jesus, there was no reason for them to believe. But Jesus did say, "Blessed are those who believe even though they do not see." He's speaking about those who would come to faith in him even after he had already resurrected into heaven. That's you. That's me. That's many of those people that Paul witnessed to that were around in the first century who chose to trust in the stories, in the testimonies, in the eyewitness accounts that were shared. And that belief fused in them what God would want to see happen. When this gospel is preached, Jesus says, signs will follow to confirm the word that has been preached. The gospel needs to be preached first. Jesus resurrected from the dead. Jesus come to earth reflecting the love of God, rising from the dead to pay and to cover all of our sin. And then signs will follow those who believe. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? Today, we need to live from the crucified Christ, that kind of life, where some of us are constantly pleading and thinking that we don't yet have the victory, to the resurrected life in Jesus Christ. A post-resurrection life in Christ is a life lived in faith. It's a life of faith. James, Jesus' brother, wrote this down. He says, "You tell me you have faith by the way that you live life." Today, we don't just talk about faith. We don't just think about faith. We don't just read about faith. Faith is lived out. It is evidence in the life that each of us live as we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. A post-resurrection life manifests itself through our thoughts, words, and works. As these are transformed in our hearts and our minds, they begin to be lived out. The question is, have we been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ? Or are these just stories that we're forced to think about and hear, but not necessarily believe for ourselves or for our family? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we put our faith in him, that faith needs to come in and transform our hearts. When our hearts are transformed and we allow the Holy Spirit to transform our minds, then we begin to think differently, we begin to speak differently, we begin to act differently. If before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we thought, you know what, there's all this sin, poor me, I'm never going to be able to overcome my sin. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can now say, you know what, there is hope in Jesus. If I confess my sin, He is faithful, He is just to forgive me of all my righteousness. It's no longer about my good works, because my good works will never be enough. But because of what Jesus Christ has done, I have full confidence to enter into the presence of God and to live the full and abundant life in and through Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's about Jesus living through me, through the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, is that even possible? What Jesus says here, that when we believe, we're going to speak in new tongues? Yes. In fact, that's already happened and continues to happen today. But what about the first part? The next part, he says here that when we believe, when we follow Him in His name, they will drive out demons? Yes. That's happened from the first century. Jesus did that. His disciples did that. When Jesus went into heaven, His disciples continued to do that. In fact, that's one of the reasons they became an unstoppable force, because nothing could hold them back from accomplishing what God wanted to do in establishing the kingdom and revealing the kingdom of God on earth. Even though Jesus was no longer physically present, He wanted to reveal this through the sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. That's you and me. Every person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ. In His name, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Pastor Chad, are you saying that I'm supposed to go join a circus and show to them, you know what, look at this snake, it's going to bite me and I'm not going to die? No. That's not what Jesus is talking about, all right? Don't do that. Don't go looking around for deadly poisonous snakes just to try to prove this. First of all, Jesus said we're not supposed to test Him. You are not supposed to test the Lord your God. Secondly, Jesus said, whenever you're persecuted in one town, go to the next. So He's not advocating you're supposed to look for danger just to reveal Jesus. No, danger will simply come to us because we follow Jesus. Did you know that? Because we follow Jesus Christ, there is already a mark on our soul. The enemy of our soul, Satan, is already targeting each one of us to destroy us. Why? Because we have the potential to reveal the kingdom of God, the love of the Father in the world today. But when this happens, when our life does get threatened and when danger is there, Jesus promises that there would be a way out. One of the evidences we find is in the book of Acts. Paul, in Acts chapter 28, tells us when he was on the island of Malta, he was stranded there. He went about starting to put together a campfire. He was going to preach the word of God in this town. And as he reached in, a viper wrapped around his arm. And those that were in the town said, oh man, this guy must be a bad person. Let's watch him die at the end of the day. But what does Paul do? Paul just shakes off that viper off his arm, and he's not poisoned. He doesn't die, and people end up becoming followers of Jesus Christ as he preaches the good news, just like Jesus said would happen. That's exactly what happened. Jesus is saying here that danger will come towards you, but you know what? God is going to provide a way out. So He's not advocating pain. He's not advocating us pursuing danger. If it does happen, He says, you know what? I'll be your salvation. I'll be there. Now, there are people who do end up. I mean, later on, we're going to find out that Paul eventually does die a martyr's death. That's what historians tell us. In fact, many of these disciples do as well. But they never shrink back. They never step back from going towards the direction that God has led them, even if it means there is danger up ahead. Why? Because the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ and His Spirit is with us. We obey and we follow because of what Jesus Christ has told us, to go into all the world. He says here, in my name, they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Jesus said it. And He said, if you preach the gospel, In my name, if you declare my name over those who are sick, they will be healed. Yes, we believe that. I believe that. I believe God is continuing to do that today. Why? Because that is what Jesus wants to reveal to us and to the world. He came to reveal the heart of the Father, the love of God, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. He came to reveal, when you see me, Jesus said, you have seen the Father. And ultimately, the love of the Father is poured out on his death and his resurrection. Today, we can and should continue to experience this in our everyday life. We need to have the confidence to change our mindset, our words, our actions, to reflect this reality in our life. Because when we do that, it is there that Jesus himself would be revealed. You know, one of the interesting things with Jesus is unless he died, he would not resurrect from the dead. And without the resurrection, our faith would be powerless. Every day, we need to make a choice to die to ourselves so that the resurrected power of Jesus Christ would manifest in our life. Come on. Every day, if you didn't get that, let me say it again. Every day, we need to choose to die to ourselves, to our own worldly and earthly desires, to our sinful nature, to wanting to make ourselves king. We need to die in those parts of our lives so that Jesus' resurrected life would manifest in and through our lives every day. It's like what Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. That cross is a cross of death. Every day we say, Lord God, I want more of you. May there be less in me so that more of your resurrected life could manifest in my life. That is abundant living, friends. It's not about me and wanting what I want. It's about Jesus, I fully surrender to you. Faith is about a surrendered life. Come on. Faith is not about how loud your voice is, how well you know the Bible and the scripture is, how well you can quote it from memory. Faith is about fully surrendering every inch and iota of our life and our being to the lordship of the resurrected Savior Jesus Christ and saying to him, yes, Lord, I see the decay around me. I see the sin around me. I see the danger around me, but I choose to live a resurrected life in you so that whatever I think, whenever I open my mouth, whatever words leave my lips would manifest the power of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. It is possible today. People are still being healed. Demoniacs are still being set free. The gospel is still going in dangerous places throughout the world. Why? Because there are people who believe that Jesus said what he said he would do. That Jesus promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, is being experienced. That the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent so that we can continue to accomplish greater works in scope and in magnitude is happening right now, today. Do you believe? Do you believe? Friends, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. All you need to do is to trust in him. That's what faith is. Jesus, when he was still here on earth, he was in a boat with some of the disciples. And this past year, you know, we talked a lot about this. I heard this shared several times. As they were crossing the lake, Jesus fell asleep in the boat. A storm came up. The disciples started to panic. And they woke Jesus up and they said, Jesus, wake up. We're about to die. Don't you care about us? What does Jesus do? In grace, in love, he commands the wind and the waves to be still, and it does. The disciples are happy, their lives are saved, but Jesus turns to them and rebukes them. The same words that we find here in Mark. After many had told them Jesus rose from the dead were the same words that he uttered when he was in the boat. Oh, you of little faith. How are you of little faith? Why did Jesus say that? Weren't they manifesting faith in Jesus by going to him and waking him up? Isn't that faith? Shouldn't that be what we should do? But you see, Jesus had already breathed his spirit into them. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside each one of us. Jesus was manifesting the power of the kingdom of God while he was here on earth by healing the sick, setting free the demoniacs, overcoming death itself. Today, Jesus was saying, you know what? You can actually, in faith, decree that because the same spirit that is in me is the same spirit that is in you. It's not about your power, but it's about my power manifesting through your life. But I need for you to declare it to the world. I need for you to decree healing, wholeness, forgiveness in Jesus' name. And as you declare it, as you preach it over yourself, over the people around you, it is there that faith would begin to be birthed. Surrender would come and I can do what I came to do. Full life, abundant life, kingdom life. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. Because his spirit is in each one of us. You heard at the beginning of the service, we celebrated healings. My aunt was one of them. She had cancer, she went through chemotherapy, and she was just declared free of cancer. We're thankful for medicines, but more than that, we believe that God is the healer. He is the great physician. If you, as you're watching this right now, in your home, believe in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ that broke the curse of sin and death. And yes, part of that is sickness and disease. He overcame. He can bring that healing in your circumstances, in your situation right now.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.